10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall, your source for the truth and what's really happening today.
Hello, my friends. You're listening to the Watchman's Cry, News from the Wall. This is going to be part 7 of the series where we are unmasking the Illuminati, which desires to take this world into a very dark season that's going to affect our lives and fulfill Bible prophecy. I'm Nathan Leal, and the website is watchmanscry.com. In the previous session, we were discussing the images are beginning to form, and the faces of deception are starting to reveal themselves. Unfortunately, most people are not able to discern that we are living in an envelope of time that was prophesied in the Scriptures. And as I bring this information to the forefront, one thing that I must continually stress about my method of presentation, it is this, my friends. We cannot separate the spiritual from the physical. Discussing and understanding these events cannot be contained only in the political arena. We must be able to look at them in a multifaceted manner to understand them. And if you happen to be listening to this program and you do not consider yourself a Christian or very spiritual, and you wonder why I insist on making this a spiritual thing, or a Bible thing, or a Christian thing, here's why, my friends. Because God is real. God created this world, and God gave us the plan for humanity. And folks, the things that are coming to this planet, the things that are approaching us right now, will not be able to be endured without the help of God in your life. It is vital to be able to understand this from the spiritual point of view. My friends, we cannot exclude our relationship with God if we want to be able to endure. So I want to encourage you, if you're out of fellowship with Jesus, if you have not experienced His salvation, my prayer is that God's Holy Spirit would draw you toward Him. Without God's Holy Spirit, folks, we're empty vessels, we're empty shells, and we're not going to make it. I know that this series has been long. I know that I've shared a lot of information. For those of you that wish I was already finished with this, let me say that part of me agrees with you. I do wish that I was already finished with this presentation because there's just so much. And some of you might be wanting to move on. And in the last session, I talked about why it's important to understand this stuff. But I also shared that I do not believe that a person can sustain themselves only on a diet of this information. To limit ourselves to a diet of knowledge about the New World Order will result in our hearts being incomplete, unprepared spiritually. So, studying the New World Order is just part of the equation, my friend. We need to know the spiritual elements, and we also need to know about what the enemy of our souls is doing, and the enemy of this planet. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America has an enemy. This world has an enemy, and your soul has an enemy. And that enemy is Satan. Lucifer, the god of this world. And Lucifer is working very strategically in these end times. He's very crafty. He's very smart. He has evil genius behind him. And he knows how to convince people to believe a lie. He knows how to convince humans to sell their souls in exchange for serving him. When we look at the book of Revelation, we can see that there will be players in the end times who will willingly choose to be on the side of Satan, and who will willingly choose the temporary things, like wealth and earthly treasures. There are people out there that have futile thinking. They are not able to look at the complete picture from the eternal perspective. And that is why I constantly have to bring the eternal perspective to my programs. That is why I am offering the eternal perspective here on the table when we examine these things. Because without the eternal perspective, we will be deceived. And without the eternal perspective, it will be difficult to not see through the confusion and the misdirection, the window dressing, the facades. And in these end times, there is a huge facade. There's a veil that has been placed over most people. So I am removing that veil, and that's what we're talking about. And during the Illuminati-sponsored production of the Super Bowl that took place a few months ago, the New World Order revealed what they are planning to do to this planet and to the United States of America. And they revealed it with symbolism. It was hidden in plain sight, but it was there. It was available for those who wanted to see it to be able to see it. So I have been digging for the past few months, and I uncovered a lot of information, folks. So I'm going to share with you in this session what I found out. What I have been able to uncover is no less than startling and disturbing. And it was many years ago that the Freemasonry Illuminati writer Manly P. Hall wrote several books where he admitted how Freemasons think. He wrote in one of his books that symbolism is the language of the mysteries. And I shared this quote in some of my other sessions, but I want to share it again for those of you who might have forgotten. He said, symbolism is the language of the mysteries. Now, the mystery is the enlightenment that they seek. And this enlightenment occurs in their third eye. That's why the U.S. dollar has an eyeball at the top. That's the eye of providence, which they have admitted is the eye of Lucifer. And to understand the wisdom of Lucifer, Freemasons need to constantly be on a journey where they are trying to attain more and more knowledge about what the symbolism means. You see, Satan never makes it easy. When Satan makes a false religion, and he has many of them throughout this world, he makes it difficult. He seasons his false religions with struggle so that they will have something to seek after and attain. So in the Freemasonry false religion, which is what it is, folks, it's a religion, it's a cult, and it's full of lies, Satan has created a structure where the Freemasonry candidates and recruits and members are always trying to get to the next level. And in their fraternal order of the Freemasons, there are 33 levels that are known. And then after a person gets to the 33rd level, then there are many other levels. The levels go very high into the 40s, 50, 60, 70, 80 degrees. They continue to go higher and higher, 90. And then as the people climb in their levels of discovery and enlightenment, they are then shown that the mystery and that this deity that they're seeking to get a hold of, that they're seeking to understand, is Lucifer. And they say that in order to understand the language of the mysteries, which is Lucifer, they use symbolism. And symbolism is used as an ideal method of preserving their knowledge. Manly P. Hall wrote about this, and he went on to say that in a single figure, a symbol may both reveal and conceal. For the wise individual that's part of that religion, that's committed to this thing, the symbols are obvious to their true meaning. But to the unwise one, to the ignorant, the symbol and the figures remain inscrutable and unknown. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is according to them. And he also goes on to say that to the profane, they remain hidden. For those of you that have heard about the Illuminati using numbers and being superstitious about numbers, it's true, folks. They are. Numbers are symbolic to the Freemasons and to the Illuminati. And this information is not conspiracy theory. It's not opinion. I'm not guessing. This comes from their writings. So when we watch the end times framework and infrastructure continue to be built before our eyes, to the person that's paying attention, they can see that numbers are often involved. And the numbers play out in dates. They play out in geographical locations. Numbers play a huge role, the value of a given item or event. So as I share these things that I was able to uncover, part of the information that I uncovered has to do with numbers that were displayed in plain sight during the Super Bowl production. The Illuminati displayed them in front of all of us. Most people don't care, and most people would rather focus on other things. And I'm not saying that to cause blame or accusation on those that have not had the opportunity to learn these things. I'm just sharing the truth, folks. Satan likes numbers. And when we look at the book of Revelation, we could also see that God also uses numbers. The book of Revelation is full of numbers. There are seven trumpets, seven seals, seven bowls, seven candlesticks. God also assigns value to numbers, but he does it from his point of view. He does it from a divine point of view. So in the remainder of these sessions, folks, we're going to look at some of the commercials. I'm going to mention a lot of commercials that were displayed. And we're really going to focus on the Maserati commercial about being prepared and now we strike. So I want to invite you to take a lot of notes, get your pen and paper. And if some of you have any information that you want to contribute, please email it to me. You can go to my website at watchmanscry.com. There's some of you out there that are sleuths. You have a little bit of the Columbo discovery blood inside of you. God has gifted you with that ability. So if you want to contribute, I would love to hear what you have to say. And by the way, those of you that have already contributed, I want to say thanks for the information that you emailed to me. I appreciate it because it does help me to fill in the blanks of this huge end time puzzle. Now, in the sessions that I released several weeks ago, which was session 4 and 5, we talked about the prepare message and how the prepare message was found 22 times in the Super Bowl production. But there were two prepare messages that I did not concentrate on. I spoke about many others. So again, if you haven't heard those, you can go to my website, watchmanscry.com. And on the front page, you can find the links. Number 4 and 5 are very, very important to examine. Now, parts 1, 2, and 3 were an introduction to the New World Order and to the plan for the New World Order, which is turning the United States and this world into a giant plantation. For those of you who may not know that the players in these end times happen to be large global corporations. And one of the biggest ones is PepsiCo. PepsiCo has a presence all over the world. In order to understand the New World Order in these end times, it's not just one group of men that meet in a dark, smoke-filled room. It's made up of a lot of different tentacles. And the best illustration that shows what the New World Order is would be an octopus. An octopus has many tentacles, and each tentacle could represent a different portion of the New World Order beast. So the New World Order does have a brain, and of course it's Satan who gives it its evil desire to take over the world. And then Satan uses his evil spirits, his principalities that go throughout the world to influence humans. And as the humans are influenced, then they form the different round table groups. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit later. But the New World Order is not just one group, ladies and gentlemen. It's many. It spans academia. It spans world finance, banking, politics, entertainment, media, education, religion, esoteric religion, the New Age. It spans many, many areas. So as we're examining these things, I may share certain groups. So if you hear me mention some groups that you've never heard, take notes and when you have a chance, look them up on the internet so that you can know about them. Because folks, these groups are not benign. They are all working very actively right now to bring the United States over the cliff to destruction. As I was looking at the commercials that were produced in the Super Bowl, I was able to make note that for the most part, it looked like the majority of the advertisers belong to Bilderberg member corporations, which means that either the owners of these corporations have attended Bilderberg meetings or the CEOs and the leadership of these corporations have attended Bilderberg meetings. And when we look at the prepare message that was displayed in the Super Bowl, a lot of people wondered about it and they asked the question, prepare for what? What were they trying to say? And because that question was left open and most people did not find out what the prepare message was, I found myself very motivated to discover for myself what they were wanting us to prepare for. And I believe that I have found it. And in the last session that I released several weeks ago, part 4 and 5, I showed the prepare message that was revealed. And I disclosed part of what I believe the prepare message had to do with. And in this session, we're going to examine the rest of it. Now, one of them, of course, you know about in the Maserati commercial. We have prepared, now we strike. We're going to dissect that commercial in a few minutes. There was also another prepare message that was given by Bud Light, where Arnold Schwarzenegger himself said the word, prepare. And when Arnold said it, he was talking to the individual named Ian. And when Arnold told Ian to prepare, he said, prepare to be crushed.
Prepare to be crushed.
And I consider those words very important. Now, to the person who may say, well, Nathan, maybe that was just a random thing. Maybe it was coincidental. And I understand that from the logic point of view, there's always the chance that it was random or coincidental or meaningless. But we are not looking at this production from the standpoint of coincidence, because as I just stated a few moments ago, the Illuminati and the Freemasons admit that symbolism is the language of the mysteries, and they use symbolism to conceal and reveal. Why did Arnold say, prepare to be crushed? That statement is a warning to the United States of America and to the world. Prepare to be crushed. Also, there was another display of the word prepare in the Transformers commercial. And the next edition of the Transformers movie was advertised during the Super Bowl. They did a trailer. And the name of that movie is Transformers Age of Extinction. And during the trailer, the words prepare also flashed on the screen. And then a few seconds later, it said for extinction. So the message in that commercial was prepare for extinction. Now, folks, again, I know that there are individuals who may say, Nathan, come on, you're making too much out of this. And for the person that has a hard time and is struggling with whether or not this is legitimate, I just want to ask this, my friend. Please listen to this program in its entirety and then make the decision. Take the matter to prayer. Ask God if there can be some truth to this. Because I'm going to share with you what I believe is an outline of events that are going to happen for the remainder of this year and next year, and they're going to involve war. They're going to involve the Ukraine war. They're going to involve Russia. They're going to involve potentially World War III. And they're also going to involve the invasion of spiritual forces, or what I often call the zombie apocalypse, which in layman's terms means the attack of spiritual entities from the underworld. And I have been warning about this for several years now. We are going to see an invasion. In fact, this thing's already started. The invasion from hell is going to occur across the United States. And this invasion from hell is going to sweep across the country, and it's going to affect many, many people in the way they act, in the way they're able to battle spiritual matters, in the way that they're able to keep their head together, in the way that they're able to hold on to their sanity. Spiritual forces are going to play a huge role to make people go crazy. Now, folks, please think about that. This is why this is so important for you to know. And most people in internet land, when you go to the alternative media, there's a lot of people talking about the things that are happening right now. America's falling apart. Obama's taking us to communism. Tyranny is coming. The Russian invasion is coming. The Chinese invasion is coming. And the militia needs to rise up. The patriots need to get together. We need to tell them no. We need to march. We need to occupy. We need to resist, etc., etc. There are many people talking about the things unraveling before our eyes right now. But most of those people are not addressing them from the spiritual point of view. They are not including the spiritual involvement of hell and of Satan and of demonic spirits and principalities. And my friends, if you want to be a patriot, and if you want to be part of some militia group that's going to turn this thing around, if you exclude the spiritual poison that is occurring across America right now, now folks, I cannot stress this enough. The Bible has shown us that when God has judged a nation in the past, the scriptures tell us it's very important to get the right perspective, to have God's counsel, to understand what judgment is, to understand how it's going to play out, to understand what God intends to see out of the judgment. Right now, America is under judgment. There are some things that God wants to see occur in the lives of his people during this judgment. So my friends, it's very important to include what God wants out of this situation. If we limit it to what the militia wants or what the patriots want, the spiritual mess of this country does not get fixed. We still have gay marriage taking over the country. We still have abortion, immorality, broken families. We still have corruption in politics. So to defend this nation and to try to save this nation because the Second Amendment is getting stepped on is going to leave a huge vacuum. A huge vacuum, folks. We will be trading one mess for another mess. We will be trading the corruption of the present American social and spiritual situation for another form of corruption. Because the problem is in the hearts of men. The problem is in the hearts of people. And I submit this to you. The majority of the patriots who want to turn this thing around have corrupted hearts that are not being dealt with. And the majority of the militia people who want to turn this thing around and stop it have corrupted hearts that are not being dealt with. So as I bring this information to the table, I will not leave out the corruption of men's hearts. I am not going to leave out the spiritual portion of the equation. But folks, let me say this. Based on what I'm observing in the alternative media as I read comment after comment, and I'm talking about the comments that I read in alternative sites where people know what the New World Order is, where they know what Obama's up to, where they know who the players are. They know who the Bilderbergs are. I'm talking about the comments that these individuals are making. Many of them do not want to talk about God. Ladies and gentlemen, that should terrify you. The earthquake of social unrest is coming, but to try to leave God out of the remedy is terrifying. Because Satan will hop from one group of individuals and then just take over the other ones, doing the same nonsense, leaving God out, being left up to their own devices, to their own wickedness, to their own fleshly desires and lusts. And folks, that is a formula for destruction. Based on what I'm observing right now in the alternative media, that's very frustrating. God's kind of an afterthought. Based on what I see, folks, it's not going to end well. It's not. Eventually, the patriots are going to get involved. The militia will get involved. The uprising will happen. Civil war will come, and there's going to be a lot of bloodshed. There's going to be a lot of people running around thinking they're doing the right thing when really they're just contributing to the bloodshed, the mayhem, the chaos, and the problem. Some very dark things coming to this planet. Forces beyond the natural, as well as men's hearts who are going to be darkened and become criminally minded. Now, the Maserati commercial was very, very ominous. For those of you that saw it, at the end of the Maserati commercial, it showed the Maserati car starting up and it said, "We are prepared, now we strike." The words appeared and many people saw that and they wondered, what does that mean? Why did they say that? But before we get started, I want to just play the commercial for you. There's a little girl that narrates the commercial, and the things that she says sound cryptic. Listen to this, and then we're going to talk about it. Here we go.
The world is full of giants. They have always been here, lumbering in the schoolyards, limping through the alleys. We had to learn how to deal with them, how to overcome them. We were small, but fast. Remember? We were like a wind appearing out of nowhere. We knew that being clever was more important than being the biggest kid in the neighborhood. As long as we keep our heads down, as long as we work hard, trust what we feel in our guts, our hearts, then we're ready. We wait until they get sleepy, wait until they get so big they can barely move. Then we walk out of the shadows, quietly walk out of the dark, and strike.
All right. For those of you that could not visualize, I'm going to be talking about the images displayed in this commercial. So if you go to my website at watchmanscry.com, I have a page of notes and images that are also going to be included with this message. If you receive this in an email, it will say notes and images. And if you click on that, I have a link to the YouTube of the Maserati commercial. Now, as I watched this commercial, I found myself with a lot of questions. First of all, who is we? When they said, "We are prepared, now we strike," who's we? Is it just Maserati? Is it the scared little child in the commercial? Who is it? And why did they show an innocent little girl? Why? Why would she narrate a commercial about a Maserati? Now, again, folks, I really believe that this had a message. Now, this car is called the Maserati Ghibli. And that's spelled G-H-I-B-L-I, the Ghibli. We are prepared, now we strike, the Ghibli. Another thing that many people noticed was the Ghibli Maserati vehicle uses for their logo a trident. For those of you that have read these reports in the past, the trident can mean many things, and I have talked about this in the past. For those of you that already know this, the trident happens to be the symbol that's located in the Ukrainian state seal. Their state seal has a blue and yellow image of a trident. I think that's interesting. Is that a coincidence? Now to begin, if you're looking at the page of notes and images, let me read to you what the girl said. Now I know you just heard the commercial, but let me just read to you because I want to break this thing down. Because I believe that we can glean and harvest some very important information about what they had to say. The commercial starts and they show a giant tidal wave. This tidal wave is huge. And then they show a tornado, a very dark tornado. And then the girl starts narrating. She says, "The world is full of giants. They have always been here, lumbering in the schoolyards, limping through the alleyways. We had to learn how to deal with them, how to overcome them. We were small, but we were fast. Remember?" Now, that's interesting. She says, "We were fast. Remember?" Making reference to something in the past. Remember what? Hold that thought. "We were like a wind appearing out of nowhere. And we knew that being clever was more important than being the biggest kid in the neighborhood. As long as we keep our heads down, as long as we work hard, trust what we feel in our guts, our hearts, then we'll be ready. We wait until they get sleepy. We wait until they get so big that they can barely move. Then we walk out of the shadows.
Quietly walk out of the dark and strike."
And then the commercial ended with the Maserati starting up, and then it said, "We're prepared, now we strike." What did that mean? Well, let's break this thing down. At the very beginning of a commercial, we saw a tsunami. Over the past few years, I have been sharing on my program that I have seen tsunamis hit the United States of America. I've seen them hit the Gulf of Mexico, Galveston, Texas, New York City, as well as other parts of the country. And I believe that the tsunami spiritually represents a physical warning as well as a spiritual warning. The physical warning is an actual event that I believe at some point in the future is going to happen. I don't know when the actual tsunami is going to hit the United States, but I believe at some point in the future it will happen. Now again, folks, I have no timeline. And this is why I cannot leave out the spiritual. The tsunami is also going to be spiritual, my friends. A spiritual flood of dark forces, spiritual sewage that is anti-God, and the tsunami of darkness is coming over this planet, folks, and it's coming over America. And that tsunami of darkness is very, very thick. I've spoken to some people in the past who have told me that they have felt this thing, and they have experienced that it's more difficult when they try to pray. In other words, the heavens are brass. The prayers bounce off the ceiling when they're trying to pray. And if some of you have been experiencing this, I want you to know, folks, you're not alone. There is a spiritual darkness coming over America, and it's thick, and it's very difficult to walk through. So the efforts that were applied to your spiritual walk that were successful just a few years ago are going to have to be ramped up and elevated to a much, much higher level of desire and willingness in order for the people of God to be able to overcome and maintain their walk with God. Nathan, what do you mean? What are you saying? This is what I'm saying. Let's say, for example, 10 years ago, it was pretty easy to walk in spiritual matters. You could go pray for 5 minutes and perhaps feel the peace of God, read your Bible, read a few verses, and that kept you going during the day. Well, 10 years ago or 20 years ago, in the past, I'm not trying to come up with an exact date, but in the past, we did not have a spiritual dark fog over the country. And because of that, prayers of the saints were able to transmit to heaven a lot easier. And as a result, there are some of you who find yourselves discouraged. You're battling depression. You're battling thoughts that you didn't used to battle. Thoughts of defeat, thoughts of giving up, maybe even doubting your relationship with God. And maybe it even gets worse. Maybe you're doubting your role in your family or your role in life, just being here on earth. And some of you may even be battling thoughts of self-destruction, thoughts of giving up. What's the use? What's the point? Now, folks, if some of you are going through this, I want you to know that you are not alone. There are many of God's people that are struggling in these matters. And It's not happening because you're a loser like the devil tries to tell you you are. I want you to know that it's happening because it's dark now. And the Bible tells us in the end times it's going to get dark. That's why Jesus said, because the love of many will wax cold. In other words, their love for God will grow cold, get weaker. Many will betray one another. Many are going to walk away from the faith. Many are going to be deceived. And I don't want to see you in that mix, my friend. I don't want to see you as part of the pool of those who fell for the deception. So I'm bringing this to the table because this is very, very important. It is necessary to know that this is going on. And because that sludge is over this country, a lot of people are going to fall to temptation. They're going to fall in spiritual ways that in the past they would not have fallen. They're going to be tempted in ways that they were not tempted in the past. The temptation is going to go up. Folks, we're talking about the end times right here. The end times is more than just not taking the mark. The end times is much more than knowing who the beast is or wondering who the Antichrist is. The end times is navigating through darkness. We're here, folks. This is it. And how interesting is it that the powers of darkness know that they're here? They're the ones that made their appearance. They came through the gate. I talked about this years ago. The Babylonian attack and invasion came through the gate of Babylon. And here they are now, making their appearance with their last big production for mankind. And they're not going to go out willingly. They're not going to go out silently. They're going to go for it. So in this Maserati commercial, it starts with a tsunami. Folks, that's what's happening right now. And then the next frame was a huge tornado. I have also had prophetic glimpses of the tornadoes coming. And it was the same thing. Tornadoes coming across the land, dripping their sewage. And the tornadoes coming across the land represented God's judging hand. Now, when God judges a nation, he allows the enemies of a nation to play a role in the spanking and in the chastisement and in the discipline of the said nation. So, since God is judging America, he is allowing the enemies of America to come upon the land of America, and I saw them as tornadoes. And these tornadoes span the physical realm as well as the spiritual realm. In other words, God will allow spiritual enemies to come upon the land. Now, I know that there are some people that have a hard time when they hear that. They say, Nathan, are you telling me that God will let demons come on America? How could a loving God do that? Well, here's why, folks. Because the people rejected the life of God. They rejected his living water. They rejected his word. They rejected his truth. And because they had no love for the truth, then they believed a lie. So God says, okay, you don't want my truth? You don't want to live by my principles? You want to minimize the family unit and the establishment of marriage? The establishment of holy matrimony? You want to lighten that thing up and just shack up? Fine. Then I'm going to pull back my hand of blessing and protection, and then the creepy crawlers are going to come in, and let's see how you can deal with those guys. You want to legalize gay marriage? You want to spit in my face and get rid of prayer in schools and prayer at public gatherings and prayer at political assemblies? You want to kick prayer out? You want to export me, your creator? Fine. Then I'll pull back and I'll let the tornadoes come in. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a biblical principle that never changes. And I have seen some people in the alternative media who know about the New World Order and are aware of this invasion of tyranny and police state coming in. And I've seen some of their rhetoric. I've read some of the words of those who are in the know, who have stated that God would not allow evil to come on America because God doesn't do that. You know what, folks? If anybody were to question why God would allow evil to come to America, they don't understand the judgment of God. They have no clue how the judgment of God works. And to not know how the judgment of God works is a very, very dangerous place to be, and it's a very serious offense. In the book of Jeremiah, we can read over and over where God talks about the people not understanding judgment. And God said it to Jeremiah. Jeremiah wrote it down. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3. If you have your Bibles, read this verse, folks. Jeremiah 5, 3. O Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You have stricken them, because God's judging them, but they have not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the judgment of their God. And folks, we can read that theme over and over in Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, that when God judges a land, when the people see famine, when they see themselves falling under duress, when they notice that the blessing has been removed, they continue to be blinded. They continue to operate in foolishness, and they continue to deny that God is judging. In other words, they don't get it. Right now, God is judging this country. The United States has been under judgment for years now, and I've talked about this many times on my programs. So for the patriots to talk about a remedy against tyranny, but to not include that God is judging this land, that shows that they're blind. That shows that they are as guilty as everybody else. What kind of God would allow this mess that is happening to America? A loving and a just God would do it. And ladies and gentlemen, I do not enjoy saying this, but Mr. Barack Hussein Obama is God's tool to judge this land. And Mr. Barack Hussein Obama is being used to bring discomfort to Americans. God's letting him do it because America has not repented. And this thing's going to play out to its bitter end until the people return. That's the key. God wants to see the people return. So the big question is, will they return before or after it gets worse? What do you think, folks? When most of the pastors of America don't even know that we're under judgment, when most of the pastors of America have no clue what time it is, how can they challenge the people to repent? They're not doing it. So as a result, this thing's going to continue. And in the Maserati Ghibli Trident commercial, we saw the tsunami and then the tornado. And this tornado that's coming over America is going to be a financial tornado. It's going to destroy the economy of America. It's going to destroy the dollar. And it's also going to be demonic. It's going to be physical and weather related, as well as spiritual. The black sludge of darkness is coming over this land, folks. And it's going to litter the land with fallen trees, destroyed buildings, and the hearts of men who are struggling. The Stark invasion is going to bring an immigration of demonic creatures, devilish birds. And this dark invasion is now underway, ladies and gentlemen. And I've said this many times in the past. As the onslaught continues, we're going to see the sky get darker and darker until the zombie apocalypse is transpiring before our eyes. It'll get darker and darker until... Now, folks, please hear me now. Eventually, these creatures that are going to immigrate from hell are going to do what they can to destroy the faith of God's people and influence those who are stubborn and foolish, and also possess those who are willing vessels. They will begin manifesting more and more in the future. We will hear bizarre stories. For example, the one in Florida where the homeless man supposedly ate bath salt and then decided to eat another homeless man's face. He took off all his clothes. He was naked and the cops had to shoot him. You folks remember that story? That thing has not just been a contained event. That thing has happened several times in Florida. And it makes me wonder, what is up with Florida? You Floridians, what's going on down there? Why are there demon-possessed people in Florida who want to take off their clothes and eat skin of humans? Cannibalize. What is up in Florida? Is Florida a gateway to the underworld? This thing's not going to stop, folks. We're going to see it more and more. So God bless the patriot that wants to preserve the Second Amendment. But what are you going to do when the demon-possessed neighbor wants to come over and eat members of your family? Nathan, that's disturbing. That's not going to happen. Really? It's not? Are you sure? Ladies and gentlemen, I am sharing what's coming. The onslaught immigration of evil demons from hell are coming. Prove it, Nathan. Well, I'm going to prove it. Revelation 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hateful bird. As time progresses, ladies and gentlemen, the demons of hell are going to enter the United States of America. They're going to move in. The onslaught of ravenous birds. Since we're talking about this, let me go ahead and share it. That's why we saw the Broncos get demolished in the Super Bowl by the Seahawks. The Seahawks represented the ravenous birds, the birds of slaughter, the birds of destruction, the birds without mercy, and they slaughtered the Broncos. The Broncos represent the people. The good old boys got slaughtered. By the way, side note, The Denver Broncos are located in Denver. Denver is going to be the seat of the New World Order. It's going to be one of the New World Order capital cities in the future. And on paper, the shadow government has established Denver to be the backup, redundant government in the event that something happens to Washington, D.C. And records have been sent over to Denver. They have been placed in the underground vaults under DIA, the airport. And on paper, this is a great plan for them, relocating their records to Denver. But what happened in the Super Bowl, folks, is where the spiritual element gets involved. The New World Order beast is going to take over the New World Order establishment in Denver. In other words, the New World Order infrastructure that and framework that has been created in Denver as a policy, as a backup plan, is going to be taken over by demons. And then it becomes very, very evil. Much more evil than what we have already seen. It's in the control of humans, and then it will be in the control of humans who are demon-possessed. There will be a handover. The ravenous demonic creatures of Revelation 18, verse 2, that I just read about, are going to take over Denver International New World Order headquarters. That's what the Super Bowl represented. The takeaway, the slaughter. Kick the humans out of the chair, you destroy the humans, and then the demons take over. Folks, this thing played out before our very eyes, and most people did not see it. I have a question. What are you going to do to protect your kids when this happens, as this thing continues to get darker and darker? Nathan, you're scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling you the truth. Revelation 18:2 says it's going to happen. The ravenous birds, the demonic creatures are going to invade. And then in the Maserati commercial, we saw the tsunami and the tornado. As the shadow of darkness got over the land, we saw a shadow go over the rock. There was a rock and the shadow went over it. Why? Why was there a shadow over a rock? What did the rock represent? Did it represent the church? Did it represent Jesus? Did it represent Plymouth Rock? Did it represent the rock of stability? You know, folks, we can go on and on what the rock represented, but in the commercial, they showed the shadow going over the rock, meaning the rock was now overshadowed. You think the rock is strong? You think you have a good foundation? You think you're going to make it on your own? Well, guess what? Our shadow is over you now. What are you going to do about that? How are you going to remove our shadow? You can't. So that was another little hint that their shadow, again, is coming over the stability of America, the stability of people's spiritual lives, the stability of the Constitution, the stability of the foundational things that people depend on. Their shadow is now over it. And then we saw the girl lying in bed, and the camera panned her room. Now, a lot of people concentrated on the very end. We're prepared, now we strike, and then there was a trident. But there's so much stuff that was inside of the commercial. Now, her room has some interesting structures hanging in the window. Little woven craft ornaments. Do you see them, folks? They're called the Eye of God. And it's a woven craft that's made out of yarn over two dowels that are forming a cross piece. And this is a craft that comes from Mexico and from Native American culture. In the Mexican culture or the Native American culture, these things are hung in windows or in rooms and walls, and they are amulets to signify God's watchful eye looking over you. In other words, it's the mystical eye of providence looking over you. And folks, this is not a biblical piece of craft work. It's an amulet. And let me just say this. If some of you have made these in Sunday school, etc., etc., they're an occultic amulet, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry. Well, Nathan, they're cute. They're innocent. Well, they have a backstory that is part of the spiritualist shamans that existed in Native America. When we look at the Illuminati, they have their eye of providence on the back of the U.S. dollar, as well as in a lot of their symbolism. The third eye, the Eye of Ra. This thing goes all the way to the days of Nimrod and Babylon. And in this commercial, there's two windows in the girl's room. She has six of these things hanging. Six Eye of God amulets. Why did they put this in the commercial? Is that a coincidence? Well, here's why, folks. Because the Illuminati believes in it. They believe in their so-called Eye of Providence. And that Eye of Providence is the eye on the capstone of the dollar bill. And when you're looking at the commercial, the camera pans the room as she says, they have always been here. So when the person's listening to the commercial and trying to decode, who's they? The undertones below the surface layer, folks, here it is. They're talking about Lucifer, his eye of illumination, the eye of providence, the eye of their God. Which, by the way, gives us a clue that the giants that she's talking about are spiritual giants. They are metaphysical giants. They are invisible giants. And also, as the camera pans along the edge of the room, there's a dream catcher. And a dream catcher is also another religious amulet from Native America. So if some of you might have some of these things, I want to encourage you to think about it, to pray about it, research it, and then get rid of them. If you want to be protected and sheltered under the shadow of his wing, get rid of the idols in your house, my friends. Get rid of them. The way the Illuminati works, they do it with symbols, cryptic messages. And we have to be able to see past their attempt to hide what they're doing. So after the girl says they've always been here, the commercial changes, and we see a fireman wearing a hat, a helmet, fighting a fire. We see the number 36 on his helmet. The number 36. We can look at a lot of ways to interpret that. The numbers 3 and 6, it's 18 twice. But number 36 is representative of the number 666 in Babylonian numerology. Why? Because if you take the number 36 and you add up every integer, every numeral, you end up with 666. This was very significant in Babylonian and ancient religions. They revered the number 36. Archaeologists have been able to uncover amulets that illustrated this. So the number 36 adds up to 666. Now, before the book of Revelation was written, 666 already had meaning. It was important to them. Some of you that are working on the puzzle of 666, perhaps you can add this to your library of study and research. Now, the pentagram, which is very important to the Illuminati and to the Freemasons, has 5 points. Adam Weishaupt, who began the Illuminati in 1776, started with 5 members, and the pentagram was a very important symbol to him back then. When we look at the pentagram, the angles for each side of the pentagram star is exactly 36 degrees. Also, there are 36 rooms in the circular sign of the zodiac. And what I mean by rooms, there are 12 signs in the zodiac, and each zodiac sign has a house that's divided into 3 sections, and each section is called a room. So the 12 zodiac signs times 3 rooms adds up to 36. So that's another reason that 36 is important to the occult, to the Illuminati, and to the Freemasons. So number 36 represents the beast because 666 comes from the sum of the number 36. By the way, folks, think about this. If someone is playing with numbers, they cannot arrive at the number 666 without the 36 family being involved. It's not possible. Now, the number 36 was on the helmet of the fireman, so the question needs to be asked, well, who's the fireman? Why is the beast number on his helmet? What are they saying right there? By the way, who started the fire? And right before we see the fireman, we can see what seem to be pipes, perhaps in some factory or a refinery. So it looks like an industrial fire of some sort. But what are they telling us? I believe they're telling us that the industry of America is on fire right now. And they're the ones that are able to tame the fire, to put out the fire. Possibly they're the ones that started the fire. So they are the firemen. They're the ones who control the fire over America right now. As I looked at that picture many times, and by the way, you can see it on my page of notes, I wondered to myself, well, if number 36 represents 666, does that mean that the beast started the fire? You know, folks, we know already that they have told us that fire is necessary for their new world order to arrive. At the very end of the Olympic series in 2012, they showed us the torches that were on fire, and then the phoenix rose out of the ashes of the fire. So the industry of the West is on fire right now, and they're the ones who are able to put out the fire. In other words, they were letting us know that they started the fire, they're able to tame the fire, they're the ones that can put out the fire, and the chaos that goes with it, and the destruction that goes with it, and the mayhem that goes with it. So in their eyes, they are the ones in control of this fire. And this coincides with what they believe, order out of chaos. In their eyes, the new birth of their creation, their satanic baby that will take over the world, will only come out of fire. Out of death, out of destruction. In order for their new world order empire to rise up, the preceding empire must die. And in this case, the preceding empire is the United States of America. Empire USA, in their eyes, needs to die. I know that most of you know this information already, but I just find it interesting that this Maserati commercial has all of these elements in there. It's very creepy when you think about it. As we start dissecting this thing, it's in our face. So when the little girl says, we were small, they are small. The globalists are a small group of just a few hundred people. And in the book of Daniel 11:23, it says that the little horn, the villain of the tribulation period, is going to come up and become strong with a small number of people. So when the girl says, we were small, they're saying, we are a small group of people, but we're taking over. We're going to strike. They're letting us know. So then when the commercial says, we were small, but fast, remember? This signifies that there are spirits, demonic spirits, as I have been saying this entire session, there are spirits involved in their power structure. And these spirits have been around for a long time. Not just hundreds of years, thousands of years. They have been around since the very beginning of this planet. And while she said those words, we were small but fast, that's when we saw the flock of black birds, thousands of them. By the way, that's one of the next pictures. You see it? The huge flock of birds that's flying through the air goes right over the electric grid. That's a little clue right there, folks. The power line represents the grid that is established, but I am very concerned that at some point in the future, because FEMA has talked about it and we have seen some programs on regular network television that talk about it, that at some point the grid could go down when the EMP either happens from the sun, a Carrington type event, or whether it's done from a nuclear missile from North Korea or Iran or Russia or China. However it happens, I'm very concerned that when this EMP thing occurs, it's going to play a very, very dark role in the next phase of their takedown. Because when the grid goes, folks, millions of people are going to perish. If it happens in the worst case scenario that we can read about in that book, One Second After, most of the elderly that are in nursing homes will perish. Many people in hospitals, on life support, people who need dialysis, people who rely on their regular medications will no longer be able to have it. This thing is going to change America as we know it, and I don't want to get sidetracked on an EMP thing, but this commercial showed us the ravenous birds flying over the power lines. So I have to ask the question, why? Was that coincidental? Was that the only place where they could get stock footage of a bird flying over a power line? Is that all it was? The end of the commercial said, we're prepared, now we strike. Once it happens, it's too late to prepare for it. Once the power grid's down, it's too late to get on Craigslist and look for a generator. Once the power grid goes down, once the power's gone, it is too late to find a way to preserve the stuff in your freezer if you don't have a backup plan. It's too late in so many ways. So as a side note, if you're taking notes, if you want to get ready for what's coming, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to put this on the table of the possibility of the power grid going down. Do you have the ability to heat your home or to cook without power? Do you have a backup plan? Have you thought about it? Is it something on the to-do list that you've been thinking about for years now that you've never done anything about? Folks, I'm throwing this out there just to get you to think about it. So we saw the power grid with a flock of birds over it, and I believe that that thing had many layers of symbolism. The ravenous birds that are going to be allowed by God to come into this land and wreak havoc on the people that have forgotten God. And in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 26, it says, your carcasses shall be for food for all the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and no one shall frighten them away. They're not going to be frightened away. God will allow the ravenous birds to come. In Deuteronomy 28:26, it doesn't say the ravenous birds are going to come and eat your corn or come and scare your kids. It says they're going to come and eat your carcasses. So ladies and gentlemen, please do not allow this verse to be a prophecy about you. And I pray that it's not. And I believe that we need to do everything we can to be on the right side of God's protection and blessing so that we are not a part of this situation. God is going to use ravenous birds to be part of the mop-up crew, to be part of the mop-up team from the slaughter that is coming. This is why we saw the Seahawks destroy the Broncos, because they are part of the mop-up crew. That was one of the most significant messages that was presented during the Super Bowl. As the commercial progressed, they showed us an architect drawing blueprints, drawing along a ruler, which told us that they're the ones in control. They're the architects. They're the ones that are able to measure. They're the ones that have the blueprints. The blueprints, the plans, and the framework, and the infrastructure is in their hands. They have the tools to build this thing, and that's what they're doing. When you think about it, they were boasting. They were letting us know that they live in their little darkened hive, in their layer of cherry wood furniture and leather upholstery, smoking Cuban cigars next to subterranean stalactites and sulfur. They were letting us know that they're the ones that live in the shadows. And this commercial was an in-your-face admission that their plot and their scheme is underway. Now, for those who might say, well, Nathan, come on, just stay with me, because I'm going to let you know about the person behind the funding of this commercial. I'm going to share who he is in a moment. Now, let me just move forward. We saw a girl in a ballerina outfit. We saw her looking from behind a curtain on a stage. Who is the ballerina? Who is the one dancing? Who's the one performing? Who's looking from behind the curtain? Who was that? Who did that represent? Did that represent America? Did it represent the American people? Or did it represent somebody else? Did it represent the powers that be, hiding behind the curtain, always performing in theater? When you consider the nations of the world and which nations value ballet over others, I would say that in the United States versus some European countries, the United States doesn't really value ballerinas and the artistic presentation of ballet like, shall we say, Russia does. During the Winter Olympics, they had many presentations of ballerinas and ballet during the opening ceremony of the Sochi Olympics that we saw a few months ago in February. Ballet was part of their production. So is the ballerina Russia looking from behind the curtain, getting ready to perform? Now, folks, I don't have all the answers for this. I'm just throwing this out because in some areas, I don't have it figured out. I'm presenting this to you for your discussion. If you have some thoughts about it, again, email me and let me know what you think. But as the commercial came to the end, then she says, we will quietly walk out of the dark and strike. And then we saw the words, we have prepared, now we strike. Now, a moment ago, I said that the person that created this commercial knew what they were doing. And here's the background of Maserati. Now, get this, folks. When I first started examining this commercial, and I wondered to myself, was it all a coincidence? What did they mean? After I found this information that I'm about to share with you, I don't think that there's any doubt that this was a New World Order warning to America and to the world. Because Maserati is owned by Fiat. Fiat is an Italian company. And Fiat, over the last few years, has been buying up a lot of car companies. And to this day, they own Chrysler, they own Dodge, Jeep, SRT, Mopar, Alfa Romeo, Ferrari, Lancia, and Maserati. And the CEO of Maserati, his name is Sergio Marchionne. And Sergio Marchionne has attended the Bilderberg meetings. He's a Bilderberg member. So the CEO of Maserati is a globalist. Now get this, folks. Fiat is owned by one of Italy's richest families. And this family is called the Agnelli family. That's spelled A-G-N-E-L-I, the Agnelli family. They're the family most of you have never heard of, or maybe you have. Through an investment company called Exor, the Agnelli family, they own Fiat as well as a lot of other companies. And Papa Agnelli, as he got older and older, knew he was about to die, and he decided to hand over the reins of Fiat to his successor, which is his grandson. So he gave Fiat to his grandson, and his name is John Elkann. Elkann is 37 years old. So if you happen to Google him, you're going to look at this guy that looks like a young kid, and he's one of the richest, most powerful people in Europe because he owns all of these companies. Now, John Elkann is a very hands-on guy, and he knew what the Maserati commercial was going to have. Now, John Elkann is also a Bilderberg Group member, but he is also a part of another globalist group that's even more powerful than the Bilderberg Group. Now, most of us have heard of the Bilderberg Group. People come and go. They rotate. One year you'll have a presidential candidate attend the meetings, but then the next year he won't. It's a revolving door. But above the Bilderberg group is another group that's even more powerful. And as I mentioned earlier, the End Time New World Order is like an octopus with a lot of tentacles. And the head of the octopus is Satan. He's the brains behind it. However, in the human element are some other New World Order roundtable groups that are very, very powerful. And one of them is called the Committee of 300s. Some of you have heard of that. The Committee of 300 is very, very powerful. They've been around for several hundred years. And to be in the Committee of 300 means that your family bloodline is part of the dynasty of the bluest, richest, most powerful bloodlines in the world. And they come from Europe. So the Committee of 300 is above the Bilderbergs. And Mr. John Elkann, the owner of Fiat and Maserati, is a member of the Committee of 300. So he is a part of the most powerful group of humans on this planet. 300 people who control the world. Now here's where the plot gets interesting. Several years ago, Mr. John Elkann bought into, now get this folks, he invested in the Rothschilds' ownership of banks. So he is joined at the hip with the Rothschilds. Most of you know this, the Rothschilds are a family who pretty much own or control most of the world's banks. In fact, the majority of them. They're owned by the Rothschilds. They are the richest family on the planet. They are trillionaires. They're very, very powerful. And Mr. John Elkann, who is a Bilderberg Group member and a Committee of 300 member, is also a partner with the Rothschilds. So when we look at the Maserati commercial, and we consider that Mr. John Elkann, who is a partner with the Rothschilds and the Committee of 300, produced, then we have to also include the possibility, which I believe is almost 100% sure, that it was an insider, Illuminati, in-your-face, New World Order, warning slash announcement slash bragging production of what they have going on this planet. So in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that their statement that says, "We are prepared, now we strike," had meaning behind it, which for those of you that are taking notes, or maybe you already know this, the Committee of 300 has a smaller group of leaders who sit at the very top and control all of the meetings and all of their plans. And here's where it gets a little bit creepy and weird. These individuals believe that they are above regular humanity. They do not consider themselves regular humans. They call themselves the Olympians, with privileges that are above regular humans. Now, this is all out in the open. This has been disclosed. And if some of you are having a hard time believing this, you can Google it. The Committee of 300, the Olympians. There are whistleblowers. There are people who have gone into their little lair and brought this all out into the light. Now, over the past few years, for some of you that have been studying transhumanism and some of the discoveries of science that are coming, for example, the ability to live for 150 years or 200 years, there are advancements in science where very, very wealthy people, and it might already exist. In fact, there's a good possibility that it does exist, but for the general population, it is not acknowledged. But there is an entire branch of science that studies the ability to halt the aging process and the ability to actually stop a person from dying. And these individuals are part of these global groups that I'm talking about. The Bilderbergs, Committee of 300, etc. Now, obviously, not every Bilderberg member is probably given the privilege to know about this information because we are hearing about Bilderberg group members that are dying. So even the very wealthy that attend the Bilderberg meeting are still not a part of the higher level of the Committee of 300. But at the very top, it may be possible, folks, that they are working on the science to try to extend their lives into well beyond 100 years. Some of them are already playing with this thing. And because of that, they believe that they are above regular humans. They believe that they are demigods, half god, half human. They believe that they are titans. And that's why they call themselves the Olympians. Now, when we consider that in the Maserati commercial, the logo for Maserati is the trident. The trident is used by the mythological Olympian character of Poseidon. So if we look below the layers, folks, if we look under the hood of how these people think, Mr. John Elkann was boasting that he's an Olympian. The leader of Maserati is an Olympian. And that he is part of the very small group of humans who think that they are above all of us. Now, for the people that may say, well, so what? What does that mean? Why are they letting us know that they have a trident? Big deal. Well, here's why, folks. Because the New World Order globalist pyramid of power consists of these very, very high-level groups, roundtable members, societies, and think tanks. And these people right now are constructing the framework of the next part of their globalist plan. And their globalist plan is going to span the entire planet. They plan to recreate America. They plan to dissect, to dismantle, and destroy and loot this country. And out of the destruction, they plan to have a new creation that will no longer resemble what we see now in the United States. Now, I want to read to you a quote from a person who was a part of the Committee of 300. And he wrote this in 1981. Sir Peter Vickers Hall, if you're taking notes. And let me just read to you what he said. He said, there are two Americas. One is the 19th century heavy industry-based society, and the other is the growing post-industrial society. Now, folks, think about that. There's the heavy industry-based society, and then there's the post-industrial society. So that means after the fact. And in some cases, the post-industrial society is going to be built on the shards of old America. And it is the crisis between these two worlds which will produce the economic and social catastrophe of the coming decade. These two words are in fundamental opposition to one another, and they cannot coexist. What two words? Heavy industry is one of them, and then post-industry. And he goes on, he says, in the end, the post-industrial world must crush and obliterate the other one. So according to the Committee of 300, which would include Mr. John Elkann, the owner of Maserati, they plan to obliterate and crush the United States of America so that it will no longer be an industrial giant or powerhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no way to present this information in a manner that is pleasant. This information is established. They will not be stopped in doing this plan. The United States of America stands in their way. So when we look at what the globalists are doing, the giant octopus creature that is spanning the entire planet is very, very complex. It is involved in a lot of different areas of America. And there are a lot of individuals who are behind this thing. And that is why when I see people talking about how they're going to stop this thing from happening, I have to shake my head and say, you know what? You're 20 years too late. We are already seeing the post-industrial world of America. When we look at the different cities, when we look at the statistics, their plan to destroy America is moving very smoothly. And for those of you that might be saying, you know, Nathan, I'm having a hard time believing this. Can you prove this? If you have your pen and paper, ladies and gentlemen, write this down. The Committee of 300 uses another smaller group as their mouthpiece to share what their intentions are. And this other group that they use to share their intentions, it's called the Club of Rome. The Club of Rome is made up of 100 members. The Club of Rome is an extension of the Committee of 300. Now, the Committee of 300 is very secretive, and it's hard to actually research them because they don't really have a website. They don't have an address where you can knock on the door and say, what are you thinking? What are you up to? Why? They're very secretive. However, they use the public organization of the Club of Rome to advertise what they're doing. And the Club of Rome does have a website. So write this down, folks. clubofrome.org. If you go to the clubofrome.org, you can read about what they are doing to this planet, and you can read about their long-range predictions. Now, if you do go to their website, you will see that they have a paper that they have written, and you might even see the advertising for it. It's called 2052. This was written in 2012, by the way. It's a long-range 40-year plan to get the world to be finally converted to the Agenda 21 campaign, where they have sustainable development and population reduction, etc., etc. They say by 2052, the population of the world is going to be 8 million people, which I find a little mysterious because we are already at the 7 billion mark. So how are they going to squeeze only one more billion into 40 more years? Well, it's because they plan to do a huge population reduction campaign. And the way they do that is through pestilence, war, and other tyrannical measures. If you also go on to read their prediction, they say that the Bryce nations are going to become the world leaders. And when they say Bryce, it's B-R-I-S-E. China's missing from their list. Why? Because they say China is going to be even stronger than the BRIC nations. In their blueprint and in their plan, they have already decided it's going to be China. And if you go on to read their plan, it also says this. It says for the next 40 years, by 2052, when the world finally reaches their utopian village. This is disturbing, folks. For the next 40 years, the United States of America is going to continue in a downward spiral, and the United States is going to experience stagnation, folks. That means a continual, quote-unquote, recession slash depression. In other words, according to them, if the Lord tarries, and I'm qualifying this, according to the architects of this planet, it has been decided. Most of you that are listening to me right now will not live to see the United States ever, ever recover. Ever. They plan to turn America into a second and third world country. The United States is going to be the homeless person in the alley for the next 40 years. The United States is going to become infiltrated with potholes, with shanty villages. Now, folks, I am not saying this out of pleasure. I'm not saying it out of happiness. This is what the architects of the world have decided. In summary, the United States' turn to be the world leader is finished. Never to recover. Never ever, folks. So when the voices of God who are crying out right now are saying, prepare, get ready, judgment's coming. Folks, this thing's real. The judgment is here and the United States will not recover. And when we look at world history, we can see that a lot of places around this planet had their turn, being empires of prosperity. Spain had their turn. Britain had their turn. Egypt had their turn. The Persians. So ladies and gentlemen, this is what the future is going to be. Now for some of you that are wondering and saying, Nathan, can this continue for 40 years? I doubt it. I don't think so. I'm just telling you what they wrote about. That doesn't mean that God's not going to intervene and cut this thing short. It doesn't mean that the tribulation will not begin in the next few years. I'm just telling you that from this point on, everyone alive on the planet right now, if you're a grown-up, for the most part, will never see America recover. Never. And their plan is to utterly destroy and kill the economy, to turn America into a giant plantation, into a banana republic. And congratulations, Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, you get to play the role in destroying the country. And by the way, his predecessor George W. and Bill Clinton and Daddy Bush, all of them played their role. NAFTA, GATT, World Trade, etc., etc. They have an active plan. It's now underway and we are watching it play out on the world stage. And during the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen, they told us with the Maserati commercial what to expect. We are prepared, now we strike. They have prepared, and they're going to strike in various ways. How are they going to strike? Well, it's all those things that I talked about during the entire commercial. The tsunami, tornadoes, the grid down, the fire. It's a lot of things that they're going to strike with. So when they say we, who is we? Well, it is they, them. The globalists, the satanic schemers who desire to thrust this world into flames so that they can then activate the next part of their plot. Plantation Earth, Planet Slavery, Ghettoville Europe, and Shantytown USA. By the way, the Maserati Ghibli vehicle is named after a sandstorm. Do you know that, folks? That word Ghibli is named after the sandstorms that we see in the Middle East. In Iraq, it's called a Haboob. And that word Ghibli comes from Libya. It's the same thing. It's a sandstorm. It's a hot, fierce wind from the Sahara Desert. So their sandstorm is coming across America and this world, folks. Now, I just shared a lot of information. This was not pleasant information. This was just one commercial that I shared, folks. The Maserati Ghibli. And I do not bring this information with happiness. There's no celebration in this, folks, but according to what I have been able to uncover, we are there. We need to get our houses in order right now. We need to. We don't have a choice. And after you get your house in order, you need to prepare. But please, my friend, please do not limit your preparation to being a patriot that just wants to stop the Second Amendment from being destroyed. God bless you if you want to stand for what you believe. And by the way, I can't discount your good intent, your sincerity. I can't discount that. But what I'm saying is to limit your sincerity to just being driven by the constitutional framework and the loss of those liberties, folks, there's a lot of other things that have already been lost. And the one thing that I am very concerned about is that while people are concentrating on gaining them back or taking them back, they risk losing their relationship with God and their place with God, their spiritual health with God. Folks, please don't let that happen. It is so important right now for us to get back to God. There is going to be a small remnant of people who will be protected by God. And I'm not sure exactly what the number is here in America who know about the New World Order. Truthfully, my friends, the remnant is minute. It's tiny. The book of Daniel says the people that do know their God will be strong and do exploits. It's the people that do know their God. And to say that you know God, but to have a mess in your life, to say that you know God, you're a Christian, but your life is full of things that you know shouldn't be there, my friend. It's lip service, but it's not real. So my patriotic friend, my constitutionalist friend, my libertarian friend, all of you that are listening to this, please take these words to heart. Now I better wrap this thing up. I am going to finish the other commercials in the next session. So for right now, I'm going to end this one. The next session will be out very, very soon. Be looking for that. Please don't forget us. Watchman's Cry, P.O. Box 157, Priest River, Idaho, 83856. My friends, take these words to heart. Share this message with everyone you know. And please be looking for the next one. We're going to talk about the next two prepare warnings, where Arnold Schwarzenegger said, prepare to be crushed. And then the Transformers commercial said, prepare for extinction. Please be looking for that. Well, God bless you. Stay safe, seek God, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.